I'd like to welcome everybody this morning. I feel honored by being able to come here and share a little bit of my thoughts on things that's based on the Bible, and I hope that I can say something that will be enlightening to you and something that you can take back and use it throughout the next week and share it with the your family and friends and co-workers or whoever it is so that they may learn to follow Jesus as we have. I'm not sure I deserve the privilege and honor to stand before you, but I'm going to give it a try, as they say. You know, last couple weeks ago was Father's Day, and then last month we had Mother's Day. This is 2 days that were set aside back in the early 1900s. It has a history that far back of where we set aside to honor our parents. On these 2 days, most of us honor them by giving them, you know, maybe flowers, cards, or presents. And many of us even attend church with them, you know, on Sundays. And all of these things are really important, you know, and our parents deserve them all, and maybe more. But the most important things that our parents deserve from us, and not just on Mother's Day and Father's Day, but every day, especially when it comes from a biblical perspective. A few of the things that our parents deserve from us each day is our obedience, our respect, our affection, our wisdom, and our righteousness, and most of all, our care. Solomon instructed his son in Proverbs 1:8, "Son, keep thy father's commandments, and forsake not the law of thy mother." And again, in Proverbs 6:20, he said, "My son, hear the instructions of thy father, and do not forsake the law of thy mother." This was good advice that Solomon gave his son back then, and I'd also like to object it also applies to daughters. That it was good advice back then, and it's still good advice, you know, today. And maybe even more so because we have so many, you know, families that have single parents trying to raise a family. It's important that the children are obedient to their parent. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:1 that tells us why obedience is important. "Children, obey thy parents in the Lord, for this is right." There's never a time when it's right for children to disregard, disobey, or dishonor their parents. Parents, you know, if children fail to learn obedience from their parents at home, they can become troublemakers in school. From there, it's not far before they graduate to the police and to the courts. And many of our sorrows as parents could be prevented if all children were taught to obey. We hear children all the time asking their mom and dad, "Why do I have to follow your rules when Johnny's parents doesn't make him follow their rules?" And my answer to that would be, we shouldn't follow, you know, little Johnny's example, but we should follow the example of Jesus. We see that Jesus obeyed his parents when he was growing up. In Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52, tells the story of when Jesus was 12 years old, how he withdrew to the temple in Jerusalem, and he spent time there talking with the doctors or laws, the doctors of law. But when his parents were ready to return to Galilee, even though he was the Son of God, he obeyed his earthly parents and went with them. Another thing that we owe our parents is respect. And this may be one of the most important things that we owe because it's one of the Ten Commandments. "Honor thy father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Ephesians 6, verses 2 and 3. Children should respect and honor their mothers and fathers by obeying them in the Lord. Disrespectful, disobedient, arrogant, and heedless children who abuse their parents' wishes are almost always certain to violate, you know, the basic rules of survival on earth and become troublemakers. If children fail to give their parents the respect they deserve, Solomon also warns of the grave consequences they must, you know, face, where he says, "Whosoever curseth his father and mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Proverbs 20:20. Common decency, you know, demands that we should respect our parents. An old Chinese proverb says that respect of one's parents is the highest duty of civil life. So you see, if non-Christians believe that we should respect our parents, then why shouldn't we as Christians? So we need to ask ourselves, do I really give, you know, my parents the respect they deserve? Only you and God know the true answers to that question. Another thing our parents deserve from us daily is affection. And it may be the easiest thing we can give them. Elijah demonstrated the affection of properly due parents in 1 Kings 19, verse 20, where the Bible tells us, "And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray, kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow thee.'" And why not kiss them and show them my affections anytime? They most often gave us so much affection as their, you know, children. Our affection can be given in simple words. "I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad." And with hugs, as Aunt Lee used to say out of Temple Hill, great big Temple Hill hugs. And in a less personal way, we can show our affection through the gifts and cards and et cetera that we sometimes give. Wisdom would be the fourth thing that our parents deserve, you know, from us each day. And much wisdom can come from advice, from the advice that they give us. We as their sons and daughters should make every effort throughout our life to follow their advice. And once again, wise old Solomon used a simple expression with just common, easy to understand, everyday meaning to explain why we should follow their advice, and also give us the results if we don't. In Proverbs 10, verse 1, "And a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son," and I'll add daughter here also, "is the heaviness of his, you know, mother." He says it just a little bit different and maybe a little more pointed and direct in Proverbs 17:25, where he says, "A foolish son is also grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him." As parents, we would worry less about children and would not be given unnecessary grief if our children increased their wisdom in the same way that Jesus did. The Bible records that Jesus increased his wisdom as he grew from childhood to adulthood in Luke chapter 2, verses 46 and 27. It tells us that when he was 12, that his parents found him in the temple with the doctors, listening to their instructions, asking questions, and answering the questions from the doctor with such wisdom that the doctors were astonished. And he goes on to say in Luke 2:52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Do you think parents deserve children who increase their wisdom much in the same way that Jesus did? I would think they do. Nothing would make parents more proud than to have a righteous son and daughter, which would be the next thing they deserve, you know, daily. More important than anything else that we may achieve in our life would be to have a righteous character. Having a righteous character brings joy and gladness to our parents, as we can read in Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25. "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy in him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare him shall rejoice." Nothing can come close to the joy and the joy that a godly parent would have when their children walk in the right way. What a blessing it is to be, you know, righteous. If we practice it, Proverbs 21, verse 21 tells us that he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. Righteousness spreads joy to those around us. Parents and friends rejoice to see one walking in God's truth. And God and the angels in heaven approve of it, and they rejoice in it also. True righteousness comes only through faithful following Jesus. Are we pleasing our parents by faithfully following Jesus? In 1 Timothy 5, verses 4 and 6, he teaches us that parents, especially widows and widowed mothers, deserve our care, which would be the next thing that the parents deserve. And reading on verse 4, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show pity at home and to requite, which is an old word meaning to give or do in return, their parents, for this is good and acceptable for God. And verse 8 continues saying, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. This clearly tells me that children and grandchildren, and I've looked at, you know, Johnson's notes, and he says that that nephews may be better translated as grandchildren, that they must support or care for the aged you know, parents. And if we fail to provide for our family, whether it be a wife and children or aged parents, we're, you know, practically denied, you know, the faith, and worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. Even unbelievers care for their family. And why shouldn't we as Christians? And we should indeed be thankful for what little social security the government provides for our, you know, our parents. But let's not forget that as children, we are our parents' true social security. They deserve the best care that we can afford to give them. Sometimes our parents, as they age, require professional care and medical care beyond our capabilities to provide. However, we should not simply drop them off at a nursing home for our convenience. They still need our support and love. We should always give them the care that they deserve. We may choose to give our parents flowers, cards, gifts on their special day, but we should never forget the things that they rightly deserve every day: obedience, respect, affection, wisdom, righteousness, and care. In closing, I think the last thing, and maybe the greatest thing that we can give our parents, is simply for us to be able to discern the difference between good and evil, deciding what is right and what is wrong. And to me, that's pretty simple. If we ask, if whatever we're looking at, we need to ask the question, is it clearly condemned in the Bible? And for a list of evil things we can find in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, where it reads, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envyings, murder, drunkenness, reveling in such like, of which I tell you before, and as I also tell you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And a similar list is found in Ephesians 5, 7 through verses 3 through 7. But fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as become the saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor gesturing, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. And in verse 5, it tells us the results of what, that if we don't do, that if we do these things. And for this we know that no whoremonger, nor clean or unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things hath the wrath of God upon the children of their disobedience. But not yet here, therefore, partake with them. And as far as we as Christians are concerned, there's just no debate that the Scripture clearly condemns a wrong practice. But not all sins are named. I mean, the Bible would be endless if every sin that was to be committed was mentioned. So, if we're not certain if something is not mentioned, we should always ask, is it like a sin that is specifically mentioned? You know, for example, what about smoking marijuana? Is it like not like drunkenness? Maybe it is, and maybe we shouldn't do it. Only you, with God's help, can decide. We can compare the wrong things with the good things mentioned in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. After such, there is no law. We need to ask if the matter in question is more like the fruits of the Spirit, which is good, or works of the flesh, which is bad and evil. It's my prayer and hope that some of these things I've shared with you, today will help us develop the ability to discern right from wrong, or good from evil, so that we might truly have a closer walk with God and do the things our parents truly deserve, and do the things that we make them that would make them proud each day. And one of the things that would always make our parents proud of us would be the day that we come forward and become a member of the church Christ established. And how do we do this? By hearing the gospel. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. And by believing in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, John 3:16. And by repenting of our sins, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish, Luke 13:3. And by confessing our faith, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him also before my Father which is heaven. This is Christ speaking in Matthew 10:32. And by being baptized for the remission of our sins. Peter said unto them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:23. And then we need to live our life faithful until death. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life, Revelation 2:10b. And if there's someone here today that would like to become a member of the church that Christ established, and or if they need the prayers of the church for any reason, we ask that you come now as we stand and sing the song selected.